is my old friend. I've come to talk with you again, because a vision softly creeping left its seeds while I was sleeping. And the vision that was planted in my brain still remains within the sound of silence. In restless dreams I walked alone, narrow streets of cobblestone, neath the halo. I turned my collar to the cold and damp. When my eyes were stabbed by the flash of a neon light that split the night and touched the sound of silence. And in the naked light I saw 10,000 people, maybe more. People talking without speaking. People hearing without listening. People writing songs and voices never shared. And no one dared disturb silence.
And good evening. I'm not sure good is the proper word. Jeff Bennett here, live for a Monday night installment of The Edge on this 14th day of December. What is this? Eight more nights, nine more nights before the fat guy slides down the chimney. Ho, ho, ho. It has been an interesting weekend. I have desperately tried to stay off the computer as much as possible. Rest for the eyes, etc. I published an article earlier today, which we're going to concentrate on for this hour, and had a 45-minute or thereabouts discussion with the writer of that particular piece, for reasons that you'll understand once you visualize it. And within, a half hour, I went to a website that I visit fairly often, not usually because there's anything of great importance on it, but because it's something that is a rule tends to lift my spirits and make me smile and laugh, which is pretty rare anymore. I came across something quite interesting. An article entitled, "Are There Any Scholars of the Constitution in the Audience?" Or maybe someone that just slept on a Holiday Inn Express last night. Well, within the article, he tries to explain this mode of chess, as it were. I'm not going to concentrate on it because on the surface, it would tend to give us some very intense hope for the direction of this next month. He talks about the president's constitutional plan involving two steps or two fronts, first the courts, then the House. The Trump campaign, the RNC, various state GOP parties, third-party organizations are filing county, state, and federal lawsuits. Well, we already know what's happened with some of those. Okay? They've basically been just thrown away. And yet, he gets into a massive amount of intense explanation of every step along the way. He talks about some of the polls. Talks about what the mainstream media is doing with their calls and their projections. talks about how win or lose in a court, the next step is the Republican state legislatures in Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, Arizona, and Georgia, blah, 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 blah. Interesting enough, I saw a headline earlier this morning, and Georgia was included. I don't remember who the other one was, who's alleged electoral votes won in Georgia for Trump. Well, this now becomes a little interesting, except that at 5:32 this afternoon, Eastern Time, this headline pops up from the Wall Street Journal, which states Joe Biden earns enough electoral college votes to win the presidency. Well, by this time, I'd already published the article. I went back. I took a snapshot of this Wall Street Journal email that I received. And although I let my so-called membership of the Wall Street Journal expire, apparently it's allowing everybody to come into this article. So I clicked on it. And then I went back and added the link into the snapshot that I took. So if you later go to federalobserver.com, look at that top column. Are there any scholars of the Constitution in the audience? I strongly urge you read the whole thing, but then I also strongly urge you click on the link for the Wall Street Journal image that I've posted. There are a lot of things that could make a difference. The problem is this nation no longer operates as a republic. That crap is gone, folks. It's done. It's a demonocracy, in my opinion. There are some slight chances that this could turn, but I don't believe it. I don't believe it's going to happen. But as the article concludes, it states, pray. And if you pray, and if you don't, maybe you should start. So, I strongly urge you read it later. And you'll understand more about the frustrations in the next step. Because the next step is interesting. Justin Smith, a man I refer to many times as just in case. In other words, just in case you haven't heard or just in case you haven't read this, etc., etc. We talk about the fruit of the poisonous tree. Justin begins by stating that our situation is beyond despicable, as we now regularly hear mainstream communist mouthpieces in the media glorifying their rising stars in the Democratic Communist Party. You know, those Marxists and Maoists who view America through malevolent intent and no goodwill toward men. Not once will we ever hear a word of praise for those great American accomplishments across the span of our history, or any defense of capitalism, as they attack our founding in a vitriolic manner that has the Chinese Communist Party grinning ear to ear. Nothing could please our enemies better than to see America's homegrown, government-educated, domestic terrorists and communists attacking our history, our culture, and anything and everything connected to traditional America. And as Justin considers the old Soviet Union, he can just imagine the furor that would be thrown across the halls of Congress and in the streets of America if the Republican Party had nominated someone to run for the presidency of the United States who had deep ties to the Soviet Union in the same manner that Joe Biden has extremely deep ties with the communist Chinese. Even more shocking to America's sensibilities, Biden is proposing to have an entire cabinet of Chinese appeasers and agents waiting to fill their seats after his inauguration, should that day actually arrive. And we must not forget that he will also bring a massive group of Islamo-fascist, Nazi-style Iran appeasers along too, just as the weasel, coward, and the traitor, otherwise known as John Kerry. Biden rejects American exceptionalism and Trump's America First. And really anyone who speaks up for the founding fathers and our founding principles and virtues, the Declaration of Independence, or even God, even though America was founded largely by Christians to be a Christian nation, tolerant of all other faiths and creeds. We never hear Biden administration defending the Constitution. Never. But if he takes office, one may be certain that he and his criminal ilk will use and misuse it to advance their tyrannical, anti-American, anti-liberty, and anti-God agenda. Interestingly enough, what I've just shared with you was not written as part of Justin's column. But as I share with Justin, he is one of those writers that I can read so quickly into where he's going, and I realize those things must be added to. His words that were meant for me must be added to his columns. Now, the actual column begins by stating the United States Supreme Court once again exhibited its own feckless irrelevance. In an incomprehensible, asinine, and ignorant fit of cowardice of the highest order when they rejected the Texas lawsuit seeking relief from the unconstitutional and illegal acts of the key swing states prior to and during the election that now have Biden poised to take the White House. And in doing so, they, the Supreme Court, have violated their own oaths to the Constitution and seemingly chose to ignore clear constitutional direction, with even three Trump appointees joining the majority of the seven justices, as they allow Biden to benefit from the illegal acts and essentially move one step closer to the presidency. From the poison fruit of his henchmen and Democratic Party cronies' illegal acts. My friends, America is standing in dire straits, and the most dangerous times to freedom and liberty I've ever witnessed in my lifetime. All America is in danger. Whenever a time has arrived that allows one political party to institutionalize its criminal election fraud in order to ensure its candidates win no matter what the consequences to the nation on the whole, as it violates Article 2 of the U.S. Constitution. Backing Texas, 106 Republican representatives filed a brief on December the 10th, noting that unconstitutional irregularities had cast doubt on the 2020 election results and the integrity of the American system of elections. And in a hard-hitting conclusion, they further declared, quote, the case demands that the high court invalidate the four states' aggregate 62 total electoral college votes that are sufficient to overturn Biden's election to the presidency. Now, these same Republican congressmen observed thusly, the legislature of every defendant state has established detailed rules by which that state's appointment of presidential electors should have been conducted. However, in the months before the 2020 elections, those rules were deliberately changed by both state and non-state actors. The clear authority of those state legislatures to determine the rules for appointing electors was usurped at various times by governors, secretary of states, election officials, state courts, federal courts, and private parties. States' electors in several key states have been chosen unconstitutionally, since the mechanisms whereby they were chosen were set in place illegally and unconstitutionally from the beginning of this election cycle. Inasmuch this situation demands, at the very least, a new set of electors to be determined by the state's legislatures and based on numbers from the time prescribed by law that the polls should have been legally closed. Under any set of circumstances, Joe Biden cannot and must not be inaugurated as the 46th president of the United States. For you see, Biden and his Democratic Party communists, they're not representative of anything remotely American, nor the old yellow dog Democrats. They do not work within the pillars of the Constitution, and instead they work outside the Constitution, which they despise and seek to destroy. And they have to destroy the constitutional firewalls in order to be able to operate their criminal schemes that ensure they acquire and keep power, complete and total power over you and I, we, the American people. Now, let's not forget that the Supreme Court's failure to duty follows on the heels in the midst of a color revolution aimed at removing Trump from office by any means necessary and is openly plotted through the 2019 Transition Integrity Project and hence implemented by America's Marxist domestic terrorists and insurrectionists, in addition to America's international enemies. And yet, more than harming Trump politically, their main goal has always been to fundamentally transform America and the efficacy of the Constitution, using tactics that come straight out of the Special Forces Guide to Overthrowing Governments, especially in areas concerning our elections. My friends, in every single Democrat-held stronghold across America, election fraud ran rampant during the course of the 2020 election, especially in and around the Atlanta, Georgia area, key states of Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania. In the most egregious case of corruption and criminal behavior that America has ever witnessed, at least in many decades. How else does anyone explain the Democratic Party communist-driven effort to remove any requirements for signatures on ballots, signature comparisons on ballots, postmarks on ballots? Why else would they seek to count votes after the deadlines set by law? The answer, my friends, is ever so simple. You see, the Democratic Party has always been an authoritarian, totalitarian party. It always will be, just as it was during the Civil War years and throughout segregation and on through the Obama administration and the weaponization of the IRS, the FBI, CIA, Department of Justice against conservative, traditional America. Oh, by the way, it was announced about an hour and a half ago, Bill Barr has stepped down. You know who he is, or who he claims to be. He will step down on the 23rd of December. That's a very profound date. Do you know what the anniversary of the 23rd day of December is in U.S. government history? 23rd of December, 1913, the day that the Federal Reserve Act was signed into law. Now there's two things on that date that I will never forget. Well, back to the Texas Supreme Court, the case from Texas. In two short paragraphs, the Supreme Court rejected the case from Texas and 18 other states because it simply stated that Texas has no standing, essentially implying that the criminal election misconduct by election officials in those particular four states was none of Texas' business. With all Democrats and even some rhinos arguing the same, And yet this is a gross error on the part of the court, since there are obvious and blatant widespread institutionalized corruption and violations of Article 2, Section 1, Clause 2 of the United States Constitution in several cases before the court. And the justices just threw their hands up and let those cases die. How can there be no standing when those four states' actions affect Texas and the rest of the Union? And a conflict exists between these states. All of this does fall precisely within the original jurisdiction of the U.S. Supreme Court, any way that one looks at it. And the Supreme Court may need to revisit the legal definition of standing, which so many of them now seem to misuse or misunderstand. They've simply resorted to a syntax game similar to Pennsylvania's Supreme Court's use of the word latches to avoid dealing with its own constitutional dispute. I really do wonder if some high echelon Democrat wasn't sent pictures of Chief Justice John Roberts having an unnatural interaction with some farm animal or something. And just how did Roberts convince three relatively conservative justices, Gorsuch, Kavanaugh, and Barrett, to ignore the facts and the truth that abound in these instances in so disgusting a manner? So fearful of angering the leftists of America and their mouthpieces, people like Linda Greenhouse, Roberts would simply abandon America to whatever may come from the court's inaction. One case involved Pennsylvania's legislature violating its own state constitution. A state cannot arbitrarily violate its own constitution, especially when the violation affects selecting state electors in a presidential election. In answering the emergency appeal to the court to halt Pennsylvania's certification of its election results, which gave Biden the state through some 1,950,000 illegally cast votes, the Supreme Court delivered one sentence to the offices of Trump and Vice President Pence that said, "We're rejecting your emergency repeal." And thus, now it rejects the Texas lawsuit that showed a clear constitutional issue at hand and Democrats violating numerous laws to change the rules at the last moment. All in the days leading up to the election. All in order to ensure Biden and other Democrats won. The courts have ignored the fact that the defendant state's criminal acts blatantly violated the Equal Protection Clause for the other states. And they raise many other issues as well. But the court has the blind, incompetent hubris to tell Texas that what transpires in other states is none of their business? This, my friends, is the point to where America has now arrived. You see, it would now appear that the rule of law is merely a fiction, and anything goes, with the precedent being set by the Democratic Party communists. Institutionalized fraud and corruption can be anyone's game now, since the Supreme Court seems unconcerned that Pennsylvania's state legislator violated its own constitution and changed their election laws to benefit Biden. The court also seems fine with the signature requirement change in Georgia that weak rhinos, people like Governor Kemp, Georgia Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger agreed to make. And they caved to demands from Stacey Abrams, a radical Democrat. Abrams? This broad's been caught with her pants down more times than I could ever even want to imagine. As Trump observed early on in a tweet, he stated the consent decree signed by the Georgia Secretary of State, which you misspelled, Justin, I'll have to clean it up, with the approval of Governor Brian Kemp, at the urging of Stacey Abrams, make it impossible to check and match signatures on ballots and envelopes, etc. They knew they were going to cheat. Must expose real signatures? My friends, if the tables were turned, and these were lawsuits by the Democratic Party, there would be bloody hell to pay. And if they were in charge of the Senate, as Republicans now are, they would be immediately moving to make changes to the Supreme Court. They would not tolerate such if the case was so obviously turned in their favor. But in this instance, the Republicans should not tolerate it because it's so intellectually dishonest and the effects are so detrimental to the future of freedom and liberty in this country. And yet, the lawsuits and the legal briefs are still flying. As Justin noted in early October in a column entitled America Stands at Its Rubicon, America's drawing very near to a hot civil war situation. Given all the attempts by the Democratic Party Marxists, the Maoist communists, since the waning years of the Obama administration, from the illegal spying to the many phony assertions of Russian collusion. I mean, they've thrown everything but the kitchen sink into the mix. The Democratic Party mayors, the governors, also allowed American cities and entire sections of the country to be destroyed by the radicals of Antifa and Black Lives Matter. Oh, baby, they're still burning Portland. Trump's inability to remove the Obama holdovers only exacerbated the situation as they have used their positions as guerrilla warfare agents within Trump's own institutions. And all of this, along with the unfolding Marxist insurrection in America's streets, has prompted myself and Justin and many others to strongly urge that Trump should invoke the Insurrection Act. That option has not left the table yet. Another avenue of some great common sense has come to light in the open letter to President Trump written by one Vic Beorsif on December the 10th, wherein he noted that just as the Supreme Court gave itself power not existing in the Constitution, the power of judicial review in adjudicating Marbury versus Madison, Trump could set a new precedent and the constitutional principle of presidential review in regards to the election. Since the branches of government are co-equal, and his interpretive authority is just as valid as that of the Supreme Court. And so now, Trump and his team of legal advisors and lawyers have until January the 20th to fight this thing through any legal channels they wish to pursue. All in order to highlight the very real theft of the election that has occurred in the open and before the eyes of all America, in order to convince the greatest majority of Americans to stand by them. And in the end, given all the proof positive that exists in this matter and all the willful blindness to the election fraud, along with the complicit engagement by many actors and agents in an ongoing coup, all in cooperation with America's enemies from within, if no principled and righteous relief is forthcoming from the state legislatures and the Supreme Court and Congress, Trump and his administration and all those loyal to the Constitution in America would be well within their rights under the law and the Constitution to simply nullify this election and let events fall as furiously as they may unfold, no matter the consequences or the amount of blood that may flow in our streets. Just hold on the break for just a moment. Give me a couple more minutes here. Justin concludes by saying freedom and liberty will not be saved, and neither will America, if an illegitimate pretender named Biden is granted an easy and open path to seizing power illegally, simply because too many within the nation were too much the coward to stand up to these communists and tell them that we know what has happened and you will not profit from your position fruit or your poison fruit. Justin's conclusion states, I hope for a better conclusion to this entire sorry affair than what I see in my mind's eye. But come what may, I am prepared and standing for freedom and liberty, and my family, and God, and America, now, always and forever, so long as I have breath in this old body of mine. Justin O. Smith. Let's go to a break, and we'll be back in a few moments. Or maybe we're not together.
Sanctified be thy holy name. Vilified, crucified in the human frame. A million candles burning for the help that never came. You want it darker. Hey, nay, 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 nay. I'm ready, my lord.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America.
There's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah. Father, Father, we don't need escalate. You see, war is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate.
You know we've got to find a way
to bring some loving here today. Picket lines and picket signs, don't punish me with brutality.
Sister,
talk to me,
sister,
so you can see,
sister,
oh, what's going on.
We are back. Brother Marvin. Another one of those individuals that on his passing affected me deeply. Unbelievable. As I've shared with you in the past, these brilliant words from Dr. Rosemary Stein, who stated, and given all that we've discussed in this first almost 40 minutes of the program, the socialism, the communists, the this intense takeover, and the redirection of this nation, those who have stood up supporting BLM and Antifa that don't even have a clue what the hell they're doing. And then I think of these words from Rosemary. The only way socialism has any chance in America is for the education system to push it in schools. And remember, the father of their modern education elite beliefs was John Dewey, a communist, a failed teacher who pushed what are now clearly failed education theories. Our quote of the day. The militant crowd is comprised of uninformed and misinformed people looking at themselves as unfortunate, underpaid, underappreciated victims of capitalism, overwhelmed with jealousy that they are people who are everything they are not. The militant crowd. Oh, that's right. There was the members of BLM and Antifa, weren't they? In 1938, Nazi Party Chief Robert Ley stated these words. We begin with a child when he is 3 years old. And as soon as he begins to think, he gets a little flag put into his hand. And then he follows the school, the Hitler Youth, the SA, that's the German Assault Division, military training. We don't let him go. And then when the adolescence is passed, then comes the Arbeitsfront, the Labor Party, which takes him again and does not let him go until he dies, whether he likes it or not. Some years ago, a longtime contributing writer and friend, Ron Ewart, wrote a column called Our Little Black Box Theory, wherein he stated, the fact is a freshly born human being is nothing more than a giant sponge that absorbs everything that it hears, sees, smells, tastes, or touches in its immediate environment. And all that it absorbs is, for the most part, locked into its little black box for the rest of its life. The person is a slave to it, but is not aware that they are a slave because it defines who they are. They can be nothing else. Essentially, it is very easy for a parent, a special interest group, or a government to literally manufacture any type of human being they want. The Chinese Communist Party, of course, took it one step further by manipulating the DNA or DNA molecule to create so-called superhuman beings, or in their case, super soldiers. Babies and elementary and adolescent humans are soft and malleable, can be molded to possess certain characteristics containing those predetermined attributes of its teachers, just like Hitler did. And the forces which have influenced our public schools are global. Recently, my friend received an email from a group called Discovery Education, a global entity that provides alleged educational curriculum in digital format to school systems all over the world. Now, what do their curriculums contain? Who writes their curriculums? Well, they don't say. And we could find no sources that would tell us. Nevertheless, Discovery Education is a huge presence in America's public education. Have you ever heard of them? I haven't. So you begin to investigate. And no matter where you look, you cannot find the people nor the money sources behind Discovery Education. The email that Ron received from them was celebrating Human Rights Day. And the email was laced with social justice and equity, both socialist globalist terms, of course. And the email had a section on unlocking the power of testimony to counter hate, a program created by the USC Shoah Foundation centered around testimony from the Holocaust. Oh, Discovery Education even has videos on social and emotional skills. One such video allegedly, quote, equips students with the skills necessary to reduce stress and create sustainable happiness by providing curriculum and standards-aligned resources. Ever heard the word sustainable before? Of course you have. It's right out of the United Nations Agenda 21. Oh, my friends, liberals love these words. Now, we did learn that Discovery Education recently purchased something called Mystery Science for $140 million. Where did Discovery Education get $140 million? George Soros, maybe? I don't know. Mystery Science provides digital and video science information for kindergarten through fifth grade children. Are the videos they provide totally science objective, or do they inject social biases into their information? Is climate change included in their video? Of course it is. Mystery Science is also heavily represented in America's public education system and provides science information so highly vulnerable to elementary school children. That's a very good place to cement information in their little black boxes. Whether it's true or not. Of course, none of this includes the socialist textbooks that we find in almost every classroom. That's a whole other subject in itself. Of course, then along came Common Core State Standards, or CCSS. Oh, some time ago, Ron received a teaching document about CCSS. And what we read made the hairs on the back of our neck stand up, no differently than my attitude over at metropolis.cafe. We have an entire section entitled Common Corruption. What does all of this have to do with what we've been discussing throughout the hour tonight? In so many respects, my friends, it has everything to do with it. For how many generations have been educated and raised and conned into becoming a part of this insanity? The things that have allowed this nation to go further and further left. And we are so damn stupid that we keep voting people in like this. Here's one of the excerpts from this Common Core State Standards caca. All students are entitled to quality instruction within an equitable learning environment designed to meet their specific learning needs. What stood out was that comment about an equitable learning environment. Well, what does that mean? One reads further, it becomes quite clear what it means, and it had nothing to do with math. The document stated thusly, promoting and supporting equitable practices for students is a complex process and is best supported when your collaborative team examines several factors. The National Council of Supervisors of Mathematics in 2008 position statement on equity recommends that mathematic educators, quote, and by the way, that's only educated idiot psychologists and socialists can make something of a complex process. And so here's some of their statements. Respond to equity as a meaningful process to address social justice issues of race, language, gender, class bias. And that they call that math? What has this got to do with math? Another of their entries, embrace a mindset shift from a student deficit perspective of equity to a focus on creating opportunities for equal access to meaningful mathematics. What does equity have to do with math? And finally, recognize underachievement not as a result of group membership, but more likely a symptom of varying beliefs, opportunities, and experiences to learn mathematics. Ron is polite by calling it more gibberish. I would call it more bull. I'll clean it up for the night. And so this so-called mathematics teaching document finally finishes with these words. Recognizing and responding to these important facets of equity will promote the rich conversations needed in your collaborative team to promote high-quality instruction and equitable classrooms. Use our discussion questions in your collaborative team to facilitate said conversation. Well, you can keep on digging, baby. You can keep on digging. I want to break away from this, not to get away from Ron's commentary, which if you wish to read it in full, I do recommend you go to metropolis.cafe and scroll down. The title of the article is To Kill a Free Nation, Take Over Public Education. Now, I want to take this one step further. And I believe that I also published that, yes, at metropolis.cafe. It was not meant to be a column. It was a series of comments that he had entered on Facebook, which we've chosen to title From Your Friends at Big Pharma. And the basis of it was creating mindless little drones who passively accept all infringements upon their rights and liberty without question. Prozac, discovered by Eli Lilly in 1972 and entered into use in 1986, I believe, Neil says. Listed by the World Health Organization, don't forget that's a UN little deal, as a so-called essential medicine for its treatment of a wide range of disorders. The 31st most prescribed drug in this country. Now, no wonder the people can't think these days. We've become a nation of doped-up junkies. Let me tell you a story, Neil says. When my son was in elementary school, his principal sent home a note. Sent our son home with a note saying that she needed to have a talk with us. So Neil and his wife went to the school thinking that their son had done something stupid. Instead, the principal said, well, he was behaving badly in class, not paying attention nor focusing on his schoolwork. Well, she hinted that he may have ADD, ADHD, and told the Rosses that they had to take him to a psychiatrist before he would be allowed to return to class. Then she submitted a list of local shrinks to choose from. Well, Neil and his wife took their son to see one of them, and while they were talking with the guy, my son was gazing around the room. And then the shrink asked our son a few questions, mostly like, what did your dad just say, or what was the subject of our last few sentences, and our son answered perfectly. The shrink then asked our son if he would mind waiting outside the office for a few minutes so he could talk to Mommy and Daddy privately. The shrink told Neil and his wife, flat out, there wasn't a damn thing wrong with their son, and that he was not going to pump him full of Prozac to get him to sit still in class. He said the problem was not our son. It's the school system. It's been designed to handle average, below average IQs, and that their son was bored because his mind was just not being challenged. And so the shrink gave the note to give to the principal. And when the principal read the note, she got this big scowl on her face. But she had to let their son return to school. You see, Neil and his wife had complied with her demand. And the shrink told her that the problem was the school system, not theirs. Now, I'm going to conclude this program tonight by asking you a question, and I'll tell you no lies. What did the first 35 minutes of this program have to do with one damn thing we've done in the last 20-some-odd minutes? Everything. Because you see, all that has transpired and is happening in this country today is the fault of parents not giving a damn about what their kids were doing in school, or more importantly, what they weren't doing. That the education system had been developed and designed to do nothing but handle average, below average IQs in people, to dumb them down, to stupefy them. And then, of course, it became so much easier to convert them all into good little socialists. Good little go-along-to-get-along idiots. And some of them grew up to run for public office. And others grew up to stupidly vote for them because, oh, he was in the same grade of school that I was, or I went to school with him, or, gee, he sure talks a good line of bullshit. And that's what it is, people. We, the people, have done nothing for the last 40, 50 years but buy into the line of every idiot running for public office that's doing nothing but spitting out bullshit. Oh, gee, I'm sorry if those two words offend some of you people. Wake up. Stop being offended by stuff like that. You're not being offended by the things you should be getting offended by, which have led to everything we're going through in this country right now today. But it didn't just start with Trump. See, we were a bunch of nice people. Obama got elected and made a mess out of this nation for 8 years. But we just, God's going to take care of everything. We're just going to wait, and our chance will come. And, oh, goody, Donald Trump's going to run. And we sat back and let Antifa burn our cities and do the things that they did. And BLM, which is an absolutely open, avowed socialist communist operation. And the funny thing is, the communists finally knew how to do it. Let's go after the black folk. Oh, they've been on the receiving end. They've been slavery. Blah, 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 blah. I'm not trying to offend black people that may out be there listening tonight, because you wouldn't be listening here if you didn't get it. It's not a color issue here, by any stretch of the imagination. It's the fact that we, the people in this country, have been in denial for so long. We've just sat back and been nice little pious, calm, quiet people. Because God's going to handle it all. God's letting it run wild, folks, to see what the hell you're going to do. And unfortunately, you're doing nothing. And when I say you, I'm not just talking about listeners, because there are some of you are active. But the average American out there is inactive. God will deliver. He'll take care of it all. Which God are you talking about? David, go ahead. David wasn't told to sit home and don't worry about David. I'll take care of everything. No, God sent David out there to do the deal. Are you the David or are you the Goliath? What are you? What has this nation become? Because I hate to tell you this, folks, Goliath is winning. And me? I ain't going to tolerate it. I was at a dinner with my wife last night. About one quarter of the people that normally come to this annual dinner. Some of them are just scared to death to go outside. They're afraid to get in cooties. And they're an exceedingly heavily church-going religious group of people. I don't talk about it a lot. My feelings are here. They're within me. And I've let it be known that when the time comes, I'll do what I have to do. In some respects, it's what I've been doing for 25 and a half years. But I'm sitting here saying I've not reached enough people. I've not made them make changes in their life. I've not made them take responsibilities. Okay, time for me to back away. I'm told the music's running. I couldn't even hear it. Normally I could. I hope I've made some of y'all think tonight. Go to a couple of the websites. read the full presentations for yourself. And Lord willing, I'll see you tomorrow night.
My only friend, the end of our elaborate plans, the end of everything that stands, the end. No safety or surprise, the end. I'll never look into your eyes again. Can you picture what will be so limitless and free? Desperately in need of some stranger's hand in a desperate land. Lost in a romance, wilderness of pain, and all the children are insane. All the children are. Ride the King's Highway, baby. Weird scenes inside the gold mine. Ride the highway west, baby. Ride the snake, ride the snake to the lake, the ancient lake, baby. The snake is long, 7 miles.
Is your property a financial burden and causing you grief? Have you tried to sell but can't find buyers? Or are you just too busy to sell your property? Don't worry. We have the right solution for you. We buy properties as is, with cash, close in 30 days, and pay all closing costs. Our service is ideal for property owners who are in pre-foreclosure, have high-end repair costs, experiencing financial hardship, going through costly divorces, are relocating, need cash for retirement, suffering family loss, or have tax liens. Whatever your situation may be, we can help you sell your property and get the money you need. If you own a single-family home or multiple family units, call us for a free consultation at 888-910-1037. That's 888-910-1037. Or visit our website at cashingproperty.com. That's cashingproperty.com. Sell your property fast and leave all your worries behind.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.